Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for 4 nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax and unwind tonight with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy work week flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Before we begin, please note, this series includes talk of suicide and sexual violence. Please take care while listening.
Do you remember this letter?
I think I do. Where do you want me to start? I'm writing to you to request the following information in regards to the untimely, violent, and unwitnessed death of my daughter, Sandra Ann Beale. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think of her. This marks 41 years without her with no answers.
A few years ago, Joanne Beale sent this letter to the Maryland State Police. It was later given to me by her distant cousin, who I've since gotten to know very well. I'm a reporter who covers violence against women, and I get a lot of tips about stories. Emails from people who are desperate for a journalist to dig into what they believe to be the greatest injustice of their lives. When this letter came into my possession, I knew there was something important about it. It's kind of weird in retrospect, but I immediately began storing it next to my passport alongside all my most important documents. This letter is the reason why I found myself sitting beside Joanne in her living room a year into the pandemic, talking about Sandy.
Well, I haven't gone over any of this because I figured we're starting new here. So we'll just go ahead and throw out the questions, and I'll give you what I can for the answers.
Joanne is 82 and lives in rural Maine now, near the coast, in a tidy house surrounded by wild blueberry fields. She's short and sturdy, with thick white hair cropped around her ears and shiny blue, almost mischievous eyes. I come from a long line of short, sturdy women, and I was immediately at ease talking to her. These days, Joanne goes to church, shops for clothes, visits with her family. Maine is where she grew up, the place her family is from. But back in the 70s, she lived in Seat Pleasant, Maryland, in Prince George's County, with her husband Ronald and their four kids, Sandy, Michael, Stephen, and Ronnie.
I kept Ronnie home from school that day because he had a sore throat and he didn't, you know. And that's when the detective came to the door and told me what happened. He said, I've got some news that I don't think the little fella should know. He said, could you send him to your neighbors? And so he proceeded to tell me where they found her in this pole yard.
On the morning of February 11th, 1977, Frank Middleton arrived at a utility pole yard about 20 minutes away from Joanne's home. To give you some context, pole yards are where energy companies store those tall wooden poles that are used to support power lines. This yard was in a somewhat secluded spot, off the highway and surrounded by woods, which is why it was odd that there was a car parked in the lot when Frank arrived around 9 a.m.
And this fella had gone to work and found her, and he thought she was asleep until he walked up to the car and noticed that her glasses were up here and she was disarrayed, and he knew that she was gone.
Sandy's car, a 1971 blue Ford Pinto, appeared to be stuck in the mud. Cardboard had been shoved under all four tires, and there were tire tracks all around her car, like she had been trying to drive away. Sandy was in the driver's seat, with her keys still in the ignition. She had been shot in the right side of her abdomen, with an exit wound on the left side of her back. She was 18 years old, just a month shy of her 19th birthday.
You know, I asked that detective. I said, why wasn't Ronald and I called to identify her? He said, but there was three policemen there that knew who she was. And I said, well, isn't that lovely? I'd like to know who the three cops were at the scene. Because when that detective told me that, I was furious that we were not called immediately to claim her in any way, shape, or form. We didn't get a chance to see her until she was in the funeral parlor. I've never gotten over that, and I was really ripshit about that.
Just a few hours after Sandy's body was discovered, Joanne got a knock at the door. A detective told her that Sandy was dead and that it appeared she had taken her own life. In the short time between finding Sandy's body and notifying her family, the cops had already developed a working theory. Sandy had died by suicide.
I didn't take any of their crap because I could tell that they were hiding something. I said, you know something? You can put any damn thing you want down. That doesn't mean that happened that way. And I said, you'll never make me and my family and my friends believe that. So I said, get the hell out of my house. And I wasn't very nice to them because I think they were skunking us all the way around.
From iHeartRadio, I'm Melissa Jeltzen, and this is What Happened to Sandy Beal, an iHeart original podcast. Chapter 1, The Girl in the Pole Yard.
This is Michael.
Yes. Hi, Michael.
This is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. Hi. You want a hug?
Sure.
All right.
Bring it in.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I wanted to meet with the Beal family as a whole to learn more about Sandy. When we first sat down, I didn't really know anything about Sandy's case, except for what was in Joanne's letter. But I soon learned that the entire Beal family shared Joanne's suspicions. None of them believed Sandy had died by suicide. Not back then, and not now. I met them at Michael's house in the summer of 2021. To give you a quick sketch of the family tree, Sandy was born first, then a year later Michael, then Stephen a year and a half after that. Bang, 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 as Joanne described it. 6 years later, baby Ronnie was born. Joanne later asked her husband Ronald to get a vasectomy. All three of Sandy's brothers live in Maine, within a 30-minute drive of Joanne. Still, it's rare for them to get together to talk about Sandy.
What do we hope to gain from all of this?
I mean, I think that is a question everyone might have. I'd love to hear your own answers for it.
Well, personally, I have no expectations. These are people that's waiting on the sands of time to run out on them. I don't expect anybody's going to serve it a day in jail, not even 5 minutes.
That's Sandy's youngest brother, Ronnie. He was only 9 when Sandy died. With almost a decade between them in age, they had a special relationship. Sandy doted on Ronnie, buying him presents and indulging him in games. In turn, he idolized her. Now Ronnie is in his early 50s, and he told me his recollections of her were beginning to fade.
She was wicked smart. I mean, you know, she can do anything she wanted. As far as I know, she got always got good grades, too, didn't she, Mom?
Yeah.
That's Stephen, Sandy's middle brother. He's 60 and runs a printing press for the local newspaper. In his spare time, he plays the drums, though he's had a hard time finding bandmates who want to play heavy metal. When he thinks back to his time with Sandy, he remembers himself as a typical annoying younger brother, always butting heads with her. It's something that pains him now, that wasted time spent fighting.
Yeah. Always look at her as, you know, the big sister it is, you know, which is kind of weird. I mean, because Sandy, she was 5'5", something like that, 5'4".
Yeah, she wasn't very tall.
Yeah, but
the
mental image is larger than life. Yeah, Sandy seemed to get along okay. I mean, she, for whatever reason, you know, I don't recall of her getting picked on or whatever during that time frame. But then again, she regularly kicked my ass anyway, so.
Lots of people I spoke to about Sandy mentioned this element of her personality. She was plucky, tough. And Sandy's toughness was an asset in her community. Prince George's County, where the Beals lived, is located just outside of Washington, D.C. If you're in downtown D.C., all you have to do is drive east along Pennsylvania Avenue, and you'll eventually cross into PG County. Keep driving for about 20 minutes, and you'll find yourself at the Beals' former house in Seat Pleasant. A white, lower-middle-class family, the Beals lived in a modest home in a less-than-desirable part of town. The family described the neighborhood as sometimes chaotic. Crime and poverty were concerns for residents of Seat Pleasant, and you had to keep your wits about you, they explained. Joanne stayed home with the 4 kids, and Ronald supported the family, working as a long-haul trucker and doing construction. He was often away from home, and money was pretty tight.
He had 2 jobs. Sometimes he went out, he had a long haul, and the other job was construction. So he was pretty busy, and so he did the work. He paid the bills. I was to go grocery shopping. I was to take care of the kids in the home, and that was it.
Sandy, an outgoing girl with a knack for making friends, navigated the streets of Seat Pleasant with relative ease.
But make no mistakes, she would not suffer somebody being wrong to her, you know, or messing with her. And, you know, she was, you know, very smart, very pristine in her own way, but, you know, she was very fierce, I guess, is the best way to put it.
She didn't like me trying to braid her hair. She hated that, even when I was a little girl. And I was so happy because I had a little girl I could braid, you know. And she'd take it out, and I'd take it back. So after a while, I just let it be straggly.
She was the queen. She was the oldest, and she let you know about it. She was the boss. We all shared one room, but Sandy had her own room. And no one was allowed in her room but her, and unless you had special permission to get in there.
That's Michael, Sandy's oldest brother, and the sibling who was closest to her. He's in his early 60s now and lives near the coast with his wife, Becky. When you get to know Michael, he has a really gentle demeanor, but from the outside, he looks tough, like the kind of guy whose foot you wouldn't want to accidentally step on in a bar.
I do remember she, you know, like an easy bake oven, and we used to make a bunch of junk and eat it. And she had a makeup mirror and, you know, different things as a, you know, as a young girl, stuff like that. We really seldom ever fought about anything. I mean, we were just really connected. And actually, when we were, I think I was 15 or so, and she might have been 16, is when we found out she was actually adopted.
Joanne got pregnant with Sandy young, around her 18th birthday. Sandy's biological father wasn't interested in becoming a dad, but Ronald, a suitor of Joanne's, who she'd written letters to while he was deployed overseas, was up for the task. He married Joanne when she was 8 months pregnant and raised Sandy as his own child.
When my mom told us that, and I was like, at first I didn't believe it. I was like, what, are you kidding me all this time? My dad treated everybody equal. And then after that, when I found that out, I was just even more in love with her, you know, as a sister type, you know. It's like, you know, wow. She asked a lot of questions like what happened, why, and different things like that. But the answers she got were, it was enough to satisfy her. It's like, okay, well, I mean, you know, I'm never going to stop loving my dad. And, you know, whether or not he's my real dad or not, he's always been my dad and he always will be my dad. So I think, you know, we kind of got tighter, if anything.
We've been through an awful lot in this family. I say the good Lord was good to me to give me a life to live this long. We know what we've been through, and it's been hell. I hope we find out something.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug
all
needed.
Right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
For over 40 years, the Beal family has believed that Sandy was a victim of a violent crime, a belief fueled by the suspicion that her death was covered up. Here's Stephen.
The guilt you carry around, over time, that shit turns to fucking anger. You get pissed. You son of a bitch, you stole from me. You stole my family. That's put that in the category, unforgivable shit.
Sandy's sudden death was disorienting to her family. She lived at home and her family saw her every day. They were intimately familiar with her behaviors, her moods, and her values. The Sandy they knew was optimistic and ambitious and, like many teen girls her age, eager for her real life, her adult life, to begin. She was popular. She worked part-time at the mall. She didn't appear depressed or withdrawn or hopeless. Suicide, it didn't align with her personality.
And again, she being, you know, as passionate as she was and fierce as she was, I just would not have thought that she would want to do something like that. You know, I never got it. Could not wrap my fucking head around her doing that.
Suicide seemed completely out of character for Sandy. And the crime scene, instead of bringing closure, just raised more questions. Police said Sandy had shot herself in the right side of her abdomen, but the teen was left-handed. The family told me how they tried to put themselves in Sandy's shoes, imagining how she would have shot herself sitting in the front seat of her subcompact Ford Pinto with a steering wheel in front of her chest. The gun would have been too heavy for Sandy to hold and fire with her non-dominant right hand. Instead, she would have had to reach across her body with her left hand to aim the gun at her right side. It seemed like a clumsy way to shoot oneself.
When I was told what had happened, I was like, there's no way. It's just no way that this could be. I couldn't believe it.
Michael was familiar with the gun found in Sandy's car. In fact, all the kids in the Beal family knew about the gun. It was owned by Sandy's father.
It was an 8-inch long barrel, chrome black handle, Black Hawk model. Very nice looking gun. And like I said, it was long and it was always loaded with hollow point bullets. It was actually quite something to shoot. It was so powerful that when I first shot it, I had to hold it with both hands because I didn't know what to expect out of it.
It was because of their strong familiarity with the gun and its large, cumbersome quality that the Beals were convinced Sandy could not have used it on herself.
It's got a lot, those 357s, 44s, they have a lot of recoil.
It's some of the largest handguns you're going to get.
Yeah, think Dirty Harry, Magnum, you know, the old movies like that. He pulls out that, it's about that length gun.
Exactly.
The recoil would have sent it flying.
Yeah.
Again, it's just physics.
Her left hand would have never gone over that far to be able to do that. And the unbelievable part about her committing suicide was just too far out.
The family also thought the location of the wound was strange. Why would someone intent on suicide shoot themselves off-center in the stomach?
And as small as she was in the size of that gun on her non-dominant hand would have been really hard. I mean, if that's what you plan on doing was killing yourself, that was certainly, you know, why don't you just slowly walk through a fire and see if you'll eventually, you know, burn to death.
We don't know why Sandy had her father's gun with her that evening, but her family is convinced that whatever she was doing, she wasn't alone. When the Beals got her clothes back from police, they noticed that she dressed up nicely, wearing brown gaucho slacks, a white blouse, and calf-high black suede boots that her mom had given her for Christmas. Sandy's nails were recently manicured, painted with pale, pearlized nail polish. To the family, her choice of outfit suggested she was meeting someone that night. Who else, they wanted to know, could have been in the pole yard with Sandy? Here's what they think happened. Sandy was shot by someone else, sitting beside her in the passenger seat. This would explain the location of the gunshot and the trajectory of the bullet, from the right side of Sandy's abdomen to the left side of her back. It was the cardboard found under the wheels of Sandy's car that solidified their doubts. The cardboard told a story of a girl who was trying to leave the pole yard that night, not one intent on suicide.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
My name is Kim Palmer. I am a second cousin of Sandy Beale, and we are in the home of where the origin of all of our family began in Jonesport, Maine.
I met Kim at a hotel just up the street from Joanne's house. Kim is a licensed therapist, and it comes through in the way she communicates. She makes good eye contact and speaks carefully with kindness and warmth. She's the type of person who makes you feel like you could tell her anything and she'd never judge you. These days, Kim, now 64, lives in Texas, and she's got a solid tan to show for it. But she comes to Maine, the place of her birth, whenever she can to see the Beals. Sandy has a grave marker here, too, and she visits it when she can.
So this is a map of just Prince George's County and the area where she lived, and based on all the information that I have of her date books or letters or anything that had an address on it or that I could identify, I plotted it onto the map. Where she lived, where she went to school, where she died, where she worked. This was just her little world.
Kim showed me the materials she's gathered over the years. Medical records, court documents, Freedom of Information Act requests, spreading them out on a hotel bed for me to look through. She's the detective of the family, inquisitive, diligent, and fixated on this idea of justice.
Joanne and I just stayed in touch intermittently over the years, and they started sending me stuff. I was asking so many questions, they're like, here, just take it. And so that's, you know, these files of stuff that I have now.
Kim is the entire reason why I started looking into the story, why I learned the name Sandy Beale in the first place. She's the one who gave me Joanne's letter.
And I just learned to keep Sandy's summary with me. I carried it with me all the time. So if I ever met anyone, an investigator or whatever, I just passed them out.
I first met Kim at a domestic violence conference in Texas. I was there to moderate a panel with Lorena Bobbitt, whose experience of domestic abuse and marital rape had been badly overshadowed by the act that had made her infamous. If you don't know her story, I encourage you to look it up. Something I said that night must have resonated with Kim, because immediately after the panel, she approached me.
I remember going up to you afterwards and almost running up there and trying to get there before other people, because I knew you were going to get bombarded with people asking questions. And I thought, well, who knows? Maybe she would find this intriguing.
I did. As a reporter, I've written more stories than I can count about women who've died violent deaths, and I've spent time with their families as they've begun the grieving process. But usually, those cases had answers, however unsatisfying they might feel. This was a true mystery, one that had persisted for over four decades. The Beale family was stuck in the unknown. I kept finding myself looking at a photo of Sandy that Kim gave me, along with Joanne's letter. It's a black and white portrait, Sandy's high school graduation photo. She has long blonde feathered hair with a middle part that makes you think of Farrah Fawcett. Her mouth is poised into a half smile, and she stares off camera like something in the background amuses her. Almost everyone I spoke to about Sandy mentioned how pretty she was, especially her long blonde hair. And while she got attention for her looks, it didn't seem to give her a big head. She was just genuinely nice and friendly to those around her. That's the Sandy Kim remembers.
We didn't meet until we were 14.
The two girls were only 6 months apart, and their friendship was a defining one.
And we headed off and went back to her bedroom like teenagers do, and we sat on her bed and we just started talking and just loved her from the start.
Kim and Sandy met for the first time shortly after Kim moved to Maryland, to a neighborhood about an hour from the Beales. The two girls spent their early teenage years going back and forth to each other's houses and trading worlds.
Living in Maryland was, you know, you would think that it's this preppy kind of wonderful place with Annapolis and preppy clothes and everything, but I look back now, and those are some of the most traumatic, scariest times of my life, the things I got exposed to at that age.
While Kim was technically older by a few months, Sandy often played the role of protector.
I'm like trying to avoid it right now because I don't want to cry, but I'm going to. Okay, so at 14, I'm in this new school and it was exciting and everything, and that my mom had to come pick me up one night because I was at a friend's house at a playground in the middle of a cul-de-sac. And I'm just like waiting for my mom, and this guy walks up and I recognize him because he's on the football team. He's a senior on the football team. And I, to this date, don't know how it unfolded, but before I knew it, he had his hands down my pants. And I just remember freezing. I mean, I hadn't even been kissed yet by a boy at all. And I'm thinking, all these people, they're looking out their windows watching this guy do this to me. And I just dissociated. And so that weekend I went to go see Sandy, and I was telling her about it, and I was really upset about it. And she got pissed. And she's like, I'm going to take care of this for you.
Kim told me that a few days later, Sandy appeared out of the blue. She had driven an hour to Kim's neighborhood to confront the football player who sexually assaulted Kim. Sandy was ready for a fight, but he was nowhere to be found. It didn't matter to Kim, though. The fact that Sandy showed up for her, it was enough.
That's the part that I remember the most. And I never had been around anybody like that, that protected me like that. I knew she was going to take care of me. It was a very short relationship because she lost her life a few years later.
Kim left Maryland to go to college in Illinois while Sandy was still in high school. The distance led the two girls to fall out of frequent contact. Still, after police found Sandy's body, Kim was one of the first people that Joanne called to let her know what had happened.
I just remember getting that call from Joanne that Sandy had died, and I just remember being shocked and like, what do you mean? You know, 18-year-olds don't die from a gunshot wound.
Kim tried desperately to get back to Maryland for the funeral, but couldn't afford the journey.
I remember looking into the flights, and they were way too expensive, so I looked into the train, but it was $90 from Chicago to Washington, D.C., and it could have just been $10,000. I didn't have it.
She missed the funeral, but kept in regular contact with Joanne.
She died on the 11th on a Friday, very early in the morning. But she had gone out the 10th, Thursday night. So something happened like right at midnight. She was probably alone for 8 or 9 hours, hurting and shot and dark. She had to be scared to death. That should not happen to anybody.
Joanne was notified of Sandy's death when a detective came to her house. He asked if she and her husband, Ronald, could come to the precinct later that day.
See, when he came to tell me what happened, he said, when your husband gets home, will you guys come over to the barracks? And everything was laid out on the table.
Sandy's personal belongings, items collected from her car, were spread out like evidence for her parents to see. And among her things was a letter. It was written to a man named Doug and addressed to his place of work, the Maryland State Police Department.
He had a uniform on. He gave her a sweet talk, and there it went.
To the surprise of her family, Sandy was in a relationship. Doug was 10 years older than her and married with a young child. This discovery agitated Sandy's grieving parents and left them with a slew of questions. But at the precinct, Joanne and Ronald were left with the impression that the investigation was basically complete. No more answers would be forthcoming. It's common for police to speak with the boyfriend in unnatural deaths such as this. When women are murdered, it's far more likely to be at the hands of a husband or boyfriend than anyone else. But as far as Joanne knew, Doug, the state trooper, was never interviewed in the course of the investigation, which seemed particularly odd when you considered the location of Sandy's death. The Pepco utility yard was only a mile down the road from the state police barracks where Doug worked. And as the family soon learned, the pole yard was a popular state trooper hangout.
And then the place where she died, that was the most revealing, to see that literally they're across the street from each other, the Maryland State Police barracks of the man that she was dating, and then the place that she died, that was a well-known place where police gathered to, you know, I guess, have privacy for whatever reason.
How police do their jobs in the aftermath of an unexpected death can have a profound and lasting impact on the families of victims. Sandy's death was a defining moment for the Beale family, but what came next, what they feel was an absence of a proper investigation, compounded their trauma. Without confidence in the police, the Beale family suspected a conspiracy. A guide for investigators, published by the Department of Justice in 1999, explains how essential it is to ensure that the proper steps and procedures are taken at the scene of a death. Quote, "Few things in our democracy are as important as ensuring that citizens have confidence in their institutions in a crisis. For many individuals, the death of a loved one is just such a crisis." I wanted to understand how the Beale family and the police could have such starkly different interpretations of the same events. This chasm, I felt, deserved scrutiny. One thing I was sure of, the Beale family, even after 45 years, was adamant that there was something suspicious about Sandy's death. And because of that, they had endured decades of uncertainty. And to be honest, I sensed it too. I thought it was strange that Sandy was shot in the stomach, and I questioned whether she would have been able to kill herself the way cops said she did. It seemed like there was more to Sandy's story than her family knew. After so many years, I didn't know what kind of answers I'd find. But tucked away in the tattered stack of papers Kim collected were clues to Sandy's past. Clues that offered me a rare glimpse into Sandy's private life. Clues written by Sandy herself.
If she hadn't have written that damn note to shithead.
On our next episode, we learn about Doug and his relationship with Sandy. And I speak to the detective in charge of Sandy's case.
I would compare my skills as a homicide detective against anybody's in the world. Scotland Yard, New York City, anywhere, Philadelphia, Atlanta, where they're loaded with them. Anywhere you go, there's nobody any better.
It turns out he had a lot to say. What Happened to Sandy Beale is hosted by me, Melissa Jeltson. It's written and produced by me and Katrina Norvell. The podcast is edited by Abu Safar. Sound design by Aaron Kaufman. Jason English is our executive producer. Research and production assistance by Marissa Brown. To find out more about my investigation, follow me on Twitter at Quasimado. That's Quasimado. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for 4 nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.